What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton, going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs get some more injury news, some of it positive, some of it expected, none of it bad, though, which is a nice change of events. Also going to look forward to the future. Wes wrote a great piece about the future of the Dubs and some of the assets they have, and it's time for us to look at it head on. Quit dancing around it. Let's talk about it. Dubs also won on Friday against the Bulls, have two home games coming up that are both very winnable. Are we on the verge of a win streak? Huh? All that's coming up next. You're on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wes, what's up, man? You guys just finished up a 10-day road trip, I guess it was, and now you are officially back in the state of California. Is that correct?
I'm back in San Francisco. I didn't realize that I was landing during SantaCon.
Oh,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So my Lyft pulls up in front of my apartment, and it's just like a bunch of, you know, drunk people in Santa Claus costumes. I was like, oh, right. So, long trip. Glad to be back. Glad I was able to, I was fortunately able to miss the madness of SantaCon for the most part.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Christmas is upon us, and, I'll be in the Bay for a while now.
So yeah, that's the good news. You've been in the Bay for a couple of years. Like, you know what SantaCon is, right? Is this your first time seeing it?
No, I participated in a SantaCon marathon.
Oh, nice.
I sang that a few times.
Yeah.
It was raining. It was like torrential downpour. I'm sure some of our listeners were there. It was packed, but, you know, fortunately, you know, this is an opportunity for me and the Warriors team, right, to play a bunch more home games because, you know, they've played as more road games than any team in the league, and it's felt that way. And it's not the reason for their record, but, you know, they've got a nice little stretch here for us in December where there's only three more road games for the rest of the month. So, you know, maybe it's a good opportunity for them to get some wins.
Those are all one-day trips, right?
Yeah, Utah, Portland, and then San Antonio for New Year's.
There you go. I mean, and yeah, it's not the reason for the losing, but again, they do play better at home as a young team, you know, usually does. So they do have a couple of winnable ones coming up, specifically Memphis and New York over the next couple of days, the Knicks. But first I wanted to talk about, just to get clear things up for the listeners, Steph Curry had a second surgery on his hand, but this was always planned. It was to take the pins out or the screws out of his hand from that first surgery, correct?
Yeah, and if you know, our listeners have seen photos of Steph over the last few weeks, I mean, he's walking around the arena with like this, like, what? Oh, I was going to make a great superhero reference. What's the guy with the giant glove thing? Our listeners are rolling their eyes right now.
Yeah, Thanos.
Thanos, yeah. He's walking around with like this Thanos mitt around like these games, and it was nuts. And that, I think, is going to be coming off because part of that was to hold in those pins, like keep everything in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, I mean, he's still going to have a wrap around his hand, but it's not going to be quite so ginormous. And this, like you said, it was always planned. It was planned around this time. He actually had to miss Draymond Green's jersey retirement because he was about to, you know, go through that procedure. But now he's on pace to potentially, like, he's got now, there's a new part of the rehab now that the pins are out, and he could potentially join the team on road trips by January.
Nice. So it would just be him, just his presence. He's still not going to be reevaluated until February, correct?
That's right.
And then even then, that's just reevaluation. I think we both don't expect him back until March at the earliest, or at least that's my expectation personally.
Well, that's their expectation too. Yeah. It's they're looking at March.
Yeah. And then Jacob Evans, he did not suit up against the Bulls on Friday, but that just basically means, I mean, we're probably going to see him against Memphis tonight, correct?
Yeah, that's the idea. Unless something, I mean, he's been practicing. He's been going through the whole, you know, going through the motions and everything. I just think that they wanted to be cautious with him. They probably didn't want to rush him back, even though they initially expected him back at the end of the road trip. But, yeah, he should be available for tonight's game versus Memphis.
And not that, look, it's a healthy body and a body that will probably play better than Jordan Poole. But for the most part, I mean, he, that first game, I know it was a blowout and he kind of put his numbers up late in the game, but you saw minor improvements through the short amount of time he got to play. So I'm excited to see him back and see if, you know, some of these improvements are real. If he is a competent three-point NBA shooter, you know, how real is his defense, stuff like that. So he's definitely a piece that I'm looking forward to because of the fact that this season is all about development and trying to find pieces that will fit moving forward. He's under contract next year, and, you know, I'm excited to see if he could be part of that.
Yeah, and, you know, his return is really interesting. It's because it has a lot of ripple effects across the rest of the roster. Not only does he provide some backup playmaking, some, you know, 3-and-D type of potential there, you know, you mentioned Jordan Poole. He'll cut into Jordan Poole's minutes. It might even allow for Jordan Poole to go down to the G League and play in Santa Cruz for a little bit, which I think everybody wants. I mean, I think everybody realizes how much he's struggling, and I think they want to play him in Santa Cruz a little bit just to kind of get him going a little bit slower, you know, as far as the development goes. But then you look at a guy like Alec Burks, right, who's been so important off the bench for a lot of these games. And if Jacob Evans, if that three-point shooting is real, and he even showed some, like, nice, like, little mid-range floaters and some touch in the painted area and stuff like that, like, if that stuff is real, then Alec Burks becomes even a little bit more expendable. I think you'd still want to showcase him in case of a trade, but, you know, you might start looking to move him sooner rather than later, as soon as that December 15th deadline comes and passes. So, you know, there's some interesting ripple effects there, and everybody can sort of, you know, Jacob Evans is a guy who could play even in a three-guard lineup, right,
yeah,
because of the defensive potential that's there. So, yeah, I think they're really excited to get him back and see how it affects the rest of the rotation.
Yeah, another 3-and-D guard / wing. It's funny with the Warriors over the last, you know, 5 years, or especially the last three, is they've just been so top-heavy just about at everything. You know, they top-heavy with their scoring, Steph, Clay, and KD, top-heavy with, you know, 3-and-D wings or defensive wings, besides the only ones coming off the bench were Iguodala and Livingston. And there was just no one behind him. So even if he's not a every-night role player but proves that he can do enough to get some minutes, come in and play competent defense and not be a negative offensively, like, that would be a win for the Warriors moving forward.
Yeah, and you mentioned those two names, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston. Jacob Evans is the one guy with a little bit of institutional knowledge, a little bit of, you know, years' worth of experience. And I know he didn't play anything. He didn't do much in the playoffs or anything like that, but he was around, right? And
yeah,
so that matters. I think that there's part of that, you know, it's such a young team, like you said, but just having a guy with 1 year's experience kind of feels a little bit like things are a little bit more mature, right? I mean, everybody's looking at Kevon Looney, who's 23 years old, is like this veteran returning to the team. It's just, they're so incredibly young that even getting a guy with a little bit of experience, that player now looks like an adult, right?
Yeah, really.
Opposed to last year where they looked like, you know, he was a rookie last year. So that's definitely part of it. And as far as, you know, you get a guy like Jacob Evans back who wasn't good his rookie year.
No.
He played better in, you know, 3.5 games or whatever it was this season, but they are looking to replace Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. And we don't know who those guys are going to be just yet. I mean, we've talked about Eric Paschal, but he might be a bigger building block type piece than, you know, a bench rotation guy like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. But, you know, is Jacob Evans that guy? Is Jordan Poole eventually going to develop into that guy? You know, who are the guys? Because ultimately they only really need maybe 2 or 3 perimeter players to step up and
yeah,
be a part of this team going forward. And now we're going to start seeing some of that competition begin.
Yeah. We mentioned Jordan Poole potentially going down to the G League. Just a little piece of news that I always think it's cool when some of the guys go down there. Alan Smilagic was playing tonight last night for the Santa Cruz Warriors, and Kai Bowman went down and watched the game and, you know, was just supporting. I always like that, you know, when Steph or Clay make the move down there. And speaking of which, the G League, obviously, and all these young guys, including Kai Bowman, are part of the future. And we've, you know, danced around it a little bit. We've talked about it some, but I think it's time we just take it head on, because that is what this year is about. It's about the future. It's about development. So we're going to talk about all the assets and avenues that the Warriors have to improve over this next season to get back to where they should be. And we're going to do that in just a minute. But first, if you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and my Twitter account at CTH415 or Wes's at WC Goldberg, and we will share and retweet. It is that time of year when everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people that you care about. Think about giving yourself the gift of an Audible membership. Now is the best time to do so with a special offer of 53% off of your first 3 months. Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. You can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or just during the holiday travels. With Audible, you'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library to keep forever, even if you cancel. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/LockedOnWarriors. Wes, you wrote a great piece the other day just about the Warriors' potential moves with their top draft pick that they'll have, that we all assume is, you know, barreling towards a top 5 pick, and unless the lottery balls fall, you know, not in their favor. But record-wise, they should be in that area. They also have a $17 million trade exception that they could potentially use. They also have D'Angelo Russell's contract. They have more assets, movable assets, than they've had in a long time. And with the injury to Steph, Clay, et cetera, we all know the story. They are on the verge of being able to do some great things to help rebuild this team. What did you have specifically in that article? You know, don't give it away for free. Everyone go check it out, by the way. But what was your main points in this article as far as what the Warriors can do moving forward to get back to playoffs at the very least?
Well, the idea was that, you know, everybody keeps looking at this team and, you know, everybody understands, like, yeah, everybody's hurt. Steph Curry broke his hand. Klay Thompson's out. They lost Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, et cetera, Sean Livingston. They've been dealing with a ton of injuries. Like, D'Angelo Russell's missed more games than he's played. Draymond Green has missed a bunch of games. Like, this has been a bad season, and everybody understands that it's because of the injuries, and they're going to get all these guys back. And you just look at what the roster is right now. Steph, Clay, Draymond Green, D'Angelo Russell, and the rest of these guys, that's a good basketball team. That is a playoff team. And my point was, not only are they getting that back, because we keep talking about, okay, when they get healthy, when they get healthy, they're adding an asset in the top 5 pick that they can either take the next face of the franchise with, you know, a 19-year-old, 20-year-old player who is at peak talent. The last time the Warriors drafted in the lottery, they took Harrison Barnes in 2012, and he helped them win that first championship of, like, the Steve Kerr era. So, you know, that's definitely one part of it. They could trade that pick and go get a real contributor who can play right away, or they can even trade that pick for some depth, which I don't love the idea of, but it's definitely an option. And then, of course, you have this $17 million trade exception that they can't use now because of the hard cap that was implemented after the D'Angelo Russell signing trade. But they're going to have a couple of weeks, basically, after the hard cap is lifted. And between the point that the hard cap is lifted and that $17 million trade exception expires, they're going to have some time there. And all that trade exception does is allows them to now go over the cap and absorb a salary up to $17 million. Now, they can't combine this trade exception with another player's salary. So you can't combine this plus, I don't know, let's call it Willie Cauley-Stein and go get a $19 million player. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You can only go get a $17 million player, but you can get a good player at $17 million. And you're not going to go out and get a superstar player with $17 million, but you can go out and get a guy who, to go back to what we were saying before, if you're looking for some depth, you can go find Trevor Ariza or Rudy Gay or something like that. Like a player like that who can play on the perimeter, play a couple of different positions, make some shots when you need it, and play decent enough defense and just knows the game in a way that a lot of these guys don't right now. So you combine that with this top 5 pick to a roster that we already understand is a playoff caliber roster, And all of a sudden, this team looks loaded again, which is pretty scary considering that it's only a year after they lost Kevin Durant, who they probably shouldn't have never had in the first place. It was just this crazy confluence of events that allowed them to sign Kevin Durant in the first place. And now they're going to be able to reload less than a year after losing one of the best three players in the NBA. It's just, it's sort of nuts when you think about it.
No question. And, you know, some smaller parts as well is they'll be able to use their taxpayer mid-level, which is only about $6 million. But still, that's something that they didn't have at their disposal this year. They'll be able to sign as many veteran minimum contracts as their heart desires, which they did not have the ability to do this year because of the hard cap. So, I mean, the avenues that they have to improve are just endless compared to this year, where it's just do whatever you want, but you cannot be over this, you know, $138 million number. And the thing is, too, they might just end up keeping D'Angelo Russell and drafting someone, and none of these trades can happen, which would also be fine. Like, there are so many different variables as far as what this team is going to look like next year. You mentioned the trade exception. You know, Rudy Gay, Trevor Ariza, you could go younger as well. You know, you could go look for, I don't know, Jonathan Isaac, or I think Aaron Gordon would be too much. But again, Aaron Gordon could be part of a trade. There's just so many different opportunities and different lineups and potential out there that it's fun. I mean, it's definitely fun, and I can't wait to find out what actually does happen. But again, none of it could happen. It could be the perfect scenario. It could be D'Angelo Russell works with them and they get a top three, franchise changer moving forward. And then you have a young core of D'Angelo Russell in this draft pick to take over in however many years when Steph and Clay and them are over the hill.
And just to go back to what you were saying about like a Jonathan Isaac or an Aaron Gordon or a player like that, you can't combine another player's salary with the top five pick, or with the trade exception, but you can combine this pick with the trade exception. So if you're the Orlando Magic, you keep using this example, you might balk at the idea of including just trading. Like, you would never trade Jonathan Isaac just for the trade exception, right? Like, you wouldn't just want to create a trade exception for that and just give him to the Warriors. But you might be interested in being like, look, we've got like a lot of front court players right now. We'd be interested in moving off of one of them if it means we can go get a top five pick. And the interesting thing about this draft is really top heavy with guards, right? Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Cole Anthony. The Warriors don't really need a guard, especially if they hang on to D'Angelo Russell. It's like, where is that guy going to play?
You
could say, okay, you keep him on the bench. You know, you just sort of groom him slowly. The NBA doesn't work like that. Like, you're not going to just do like the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers thing in the NBA. You're just not going to do it. If you have a top five pick, that guy needs to play right away. He just does. And so I don't see that as an option, but to, you know, Orlando or another one of these teams that might have a front court player who's young, who's still basically rookie aged, who may want to just say, like, let's flip out a front court player for a guard or more of a traditional wing type player, like a 6'6", 6'8" guy for a guard. Maybe that's an avenue that the Warriors can look at. And you get to keep D'Angelo Russell as that third guard, but, you know, you're able to move a top five pick and go get a player who maybe is a year or two into their career, but it's a little bit more proven than these rookies.
Exactly. And you're able to split these things up. And speaking of the draft class, it's definitely guard heavy up top. But here's the other thing, too, is there's a number of power forwards that in today's NBA, you know, we look at, I forget whose quote it was. It was either like Ethan Sherwood Strauss or whoever, but basically what they said is most threes in today's NBA are either twos or fours, which I thought was kind of interesting, kind of funny as well.
Yeah, I think that was it was Kevin Arnovitz, I believe.
And which was a great point and funny, but at the same time, with a lot of these fours that are being looked at in this year's draft, you know, we didn't know that Eric Paschal was going to be a guy that could potentially play some three. He would have been the last guy because of his, you know, basically his weight. At 255, I would have been like, no, the guy can't play any small forward. But there are guys who are Jaden McDaniels, who's like 6'10", 200 pounds. They list him as a power forward out of UW. I don't know that he can't play any three. You know, just because they have him listed as something doesn't mean that they wouldn't be able to come in and potentially play some small forward either. But heavy.
In McDaniels' case, he was a guy who was a small forward and then grew a little bit more. And now, so he has the skill set, you know what I mean? Now they're just like, well, he's so tall, we just got to make him a power forward, which is true. And that's, to Arnovitz's point, like, that's what happens. Like, oh, now you're 6'9", you're 6'10", you're a power forward. And you mentioned it with Pascal. Like, he's basically a 3 and 4. And if you can get those combo forwards who just play 3 and 4 and just sort of can vacillate between both, that's exactly what you're looking for. And if you're the Warriors and you want to be able to switch a bunch of stuff, that works too. I mean, Harrison Barnes was that too, right?
Yeah, oh
so,
yeah.
So the other thing that they can do, is, and if they like one of those you know, power forward tweener kind of wing guys, you could get it. Let's say that you end up with the second pick in the draft or the first pick in the draft or whatever. Okay, let's just say you have the first pick in the draft. Best case scenario, you end up with the first pick in the draft. Very, very likely possible outcome of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That there are very few things in the NBA worth what the first pick in the draft is worth. There are, I would say, there's probably not even 12 players in the league worth like the value in a vacuum of the first overall pick, and maybe like 20 players. But you get my point.
Yeah, definitely.
If you could trade that pick back and restock your entire draft board, like just draft asset chest, like that would be enormous. Like basically you're taking one gap year to now accumulate draft picks going forward. Like you could trade this first pick in the draft for, let's just say the 8th pick and then like 2 future first rounders or something.
Yep.
If you're the Warriors now, all of a sudden you've got a bunch of draft picks. You've restocked in a situation where you didn't have any draft picks before. And you can just, and like, you've got a good team already, and now you get to sort of just supplement it for years and years and years going forward with multiple first and second round picks and stuff like that. That could end up being the best use of this draft pick, is ultimately just trading it and just like setting yourself up for the future.
Yeah, you nailed it. I was just about to say that, is that moving this draft pick for a player or moving down for another pick doesn't mean you can't get picks on the back end as well. Like, it never matches up perfectly. Like, this pick, trade exception for this player, sounds good. You know, there's usually going to be something else that needs to be thrown in there. And, yeah, you could load up on more draft picks, more assets moving forward to, you know, help get, you know, you want superstars, but you also need role players. You know, I remember Lou Williams was traded for a first rounder. You know, what if the Warriors were able to add, you know, a superstar six man, you know, with a random first rounder that they got in one of these trades. So tons of opportunities and tons of different outcomes are possible. And that's some of the exciting stuff, especially with the trade. Well, what is it? Not the trade deadline, but the date, December 14th, 15th is when players are allowed to be traded again. So it's really going to start heating up. And again, I wouldn't expect D'Angelo Russell to be moved until the offseason, but some of the smaller moves I think we might be seeing coming up pretty soon, which again, I think most likely will be to recoup some second round picks. And maybe if there's a similar young player out there who is a couple years in and hasn't really worked out, you know, maybe you swap someone for something like that. But it's an exciting time, even with the losing, no question. Speaking of losing, the Warriors did get a win against Chicago, and they got some winnable games coming up as well. I want to preview those in just a minute. Wes, the Dubs got a win against Chicago, a kind of nail-biter, which it probably shouldn't have been. And, you know, I'm just going to start there, man. D'Angelo Russell took 2 terrible threes at the end of the game. That I was, you know, I'm trying to be very logical with this year, which is the way to go, because it's just it's a year about losing and recouping assets, blah blah blah. But man, the first one, I was like, oh, that was bad. Okay, great offensive rebound. The second one, I wanted to jump through my TV. But anyways, still able to get it done. I think LaVine missed the last second shot, the last second three to win.
Yeah.
So they got the win. But man, I don't know. What were you guys thinking as he's backing out for a 30-footer with, you know, 10 seconds left?
He airballs the first three, completely airballs it, and Glenn Robinson, third, comes up with a huge offensive rebound, kicks it back out to D'Angelo Russell, who just jacks up another shot, and at least he hit the rim this time, but it just went right off the side of it. And those are really bad shots. I mean, D'Angelo Russell in that game, and look, I'm a little biased towards D'Angelo Russell. I do think that his isolation play will be an asset for this team at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it just needs some more time than we've given it. But he makes back-to-back three-pointers in the first quarter that kind of keeps them in the game early, right? And we've seen things unravel really early in these games, especially in the 2 previous games going into this thing. And he kind of keeps them in it in the first quarter, and then he just didn't make a shot after that. He hits back-to-back threes early in the first quarter and then does not make a shot for the rest of the game. And kind of didn't take a whole bunch of shots for the rest of the game until those back-to-back clunkers on like the final possession of the game. But it was interesting that Glenn Robinson was the one who got the offensive rebound and sort of saved the Warriors there and took a little bit, you know, just for taking a few more seconds off the clock and just making Zach LaVine's life difficult on the following possession was huge. And Glenn Robinson was also the guy who had the game winner alley-oop, right? Yeah, kind of came out of that Andre Iguodala dunker spot and landed that. So you have like a guy like Glenn, who's this unheralded, you know, player who didn't play a whole lot in Detroit, but just got to the Golden State. It's a better fit. He's working really hard. He's grabbing all these important rebounds. He's making all these important shots. He's just playing the right way, playing smart. Versus a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who just sort of kind of has this takeover gene and tried to and almost sort of sabotaged the Warriors, you know, potential win to salvage a five-game road trip. It was a pretty interesting dynamic to see, you know, Glenn Robinson doing his thing and D'Angelo Russell doing his thing, and one basically just saved the game, you know, despite the other guy almost kind of ruining their chances. But they did execute late down the stretch. I thought their defense was really good. Glenn Robinson, again, was the guy who guarded Zach LaVine and forced him into a really bad 30-foot jumper that had no chance at all. And so I thought he probably had his strongest overall game this season.
Definitely. And didn't Draymond recently mention, like, this is a guy we want to keep around? That, you know, Glenn Robinson is a guy that he would like to have moving forward, not just this year?
Yeah, and, like, I think I think Steve Kerr has said something similar, too, in the past. He just fits what they need. And you and I have talked about this before, but I mean, when this team is healthy, I think he's going to be even better. He's not one of these. He's almost the opposite of Alec Burks, where Alec Burks looks really good because his usage is so high and he's getting so many shots. But like ultimately, I don't think he really fits on this roster. But like a guy like Glenn Robinson, really, you could see how it would fit. I mean, he's really good at understanding when he needs to run to the corners or when he needs to cut to the rim and when he needs to get into that dunker spot, and how to play off of his teammates. Like, he's really smart when it comes to that, and we've seen this in the past. This is the kind of player that the Warriors want. This is the Andre Iguodala. Like, Glenn Robinson, like, he's not going to be Andre Iguodala's level, but there's, you know, it's the same template, right? And he watches film of Andre Iguodala. Like, he views himself as the next Andre Iguodala for the Warriors. And so if he could play a role that's similar to that, again, level of play notwithstanding, but if he could play a similar role, that's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, no, he was a guy last year who I, you know, had my eye on for the Warriors, got a nice little paycheck from Detroit and was happy that they nabbed him up this offseason, and he's played great. I mean, he really has. The Dubs have two games at home back-to-back this week, Monday against Memphis, Wednesday against the Knicks, and then they go to Utah on Friday. You know, not too much to say about this one. They'll get Jacob Evans back and have the most complete roster that they've had all year. But what do you think on this homestand? Do they go 2-0? They get two straight first back-to-back wins of the year?
I mean, it would be three straight, right?
Because that's a good point. What am I thinking?
That would be insane. There's no way that happens, right? Based off what we've seen. But you know what? I'm not going to say that because I do anticipate a little bit of a run at some point. Like, it's an 82-game season. Mm-hmm. Stuff happens. Weird stuff happens. The Warriors will go on a run. They will win three straight games at some point. So why not now? It's a good chance.
Exactly. You tell me they win three straight and the teams are Chicago, Memphis, and New York, I believe it.
Right. The one thing that, you know, Memphis has Ja Morant.
Yep.
He's going to be out, right? He might actually be injured. I don't think we know yet, but he's been week to week. So there's a possibility where he can miss this game. Mm-hmm. I probably should have done my research before we got on here. But if he doesn't play, that's a really good opportunity for them. And then against New York, you got RJ Barrett there. He's kind of the template of a guy who's given the Warriors problems, like, you know, the James Harden and the LeBron James and the Luka Doncic's, but, like, he's a rookie, you know? So it's not quite that level, but he's, you know, this oversized guard who gets to the line, gets to the rim really well. So I could see the Knicks actually, and there might be, like, a little bit of a Ewing theory thing happening post-David Fizdale getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say, just to be safe, that they don't win three straight, but these are definitely winnable games. They've got to win. The one thing they can't do is lose both of them. That's the one thing that they cannot do.
Yeah. Ja Morant, week to week with back spasms, but it says he did go through some stages of practice on Friday. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, yeah, week to week, day to day for John Morant. They might see him, might not. Like you said, two impressive rookies who could give the Warriors problems. But, you know, I'm going to –
two rookies, by the way, who are in the Rookie of the Year race with Eric Paschal.
Good point.
That's definitely a storyline tomorrow.
And Paschal's kind of ramped it up a little bit when he sees other rookies that not only went ahead of him, but now at this point are in the Rookie of the Year race with him. So that'll be interesting to see as well. A lot of reasons to check it out. A lot of reasons to come back and listen to more of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.